Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So Dáil Éireann won't resume for another month, but the budgetary battle lines are already being drawn over what welfare increase should go up in order to respond to the cost of living crisis. In a moment, I'll be speaking to Mark O'Cahasig, Green Party TD for Waterford and party spokesman on social protection. But first, I'm joined on the line by Philip Ryan, political editor with the Irish Independent. Philip, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi there, Claire.
So your own front page today says that tensions are already emerging within the coalition about any plans for an increase in job seekers' benefit. Just explain to us what's going on.
Yeah, so look, in recent years, all welfare rates have been increased across the board. And so you've seen it in a couple of budgets where it's €5 on everything from the state pension, the carers allowance, disability payments, and including job seekers. But the dynamic has changed a little bit in recent times, especially post-pandemic, where everybody can see it when they're going around their own cities and towns. All the staff wanted signs outside restaurants, pubs, shops, supermarkets, everywhere. All employers are crying out for staff. So there's a view in Fine Gael that is it really the time to be increasing the job seekers allowance when there is such a high demand for staff out there? Will it work as discourage people from going out and getting a job? But then on the other side of it, when you have the Green Party and Fianna Fáil, would be very much of the view that, look, a lot of people who are on job seeker, they're on it for very good reasons and very reasonable reasons. Now, there's some that are just on long-term unemployed as well. But that they are suffering at the hands of record levels of inflation and the cost of living crisis just as much as everybody else.
So just to be clear on the Fine Gael position, as you understand it, is the Fine Gael position that job seekers' allowance shouldn't go up at all?
That is what is the discussion amongst some very senior levels of the party, all right, is whether this is the right time to be putting it up. Now, it seems to be taken for granted. There are going to be welfare increases in the budget. You are going to see the state pension go up. You're going to see various benefits, such as the carers benefit, all the various different benefits that are out there for people who need a state-led safety net of financial support. But when you are trying to get people into the workforce to fill these positions in the hospitality sector, in the retail sector, should it be a time when you're increasing job seeker amount for people who aren't working?
And the Fianna Fáil position, according to what you and your colleagues report today, is that it should go up in line with any state pension increase.
Certainly, yeah, that seems to be very much the view of Fianna Fáil, that it should go up, that it should, and if it is going up, it should be either in cash terms or percentage terms go up in line with other welfare payments.
Okay, and we'll find out more about the Green position in just a moment. But you reported, Philip, at the weekend that the government is considering this one-off doubling of child benefit. What's the likelihood of that happening?
Yeah, look, this is different to the budget measures. We have this dual process this year where you have the actual budget for next year where they're setting out the financial spending and tax cuts for the year ahead. But then also on top of that, they're going to have a cost of living package which will be paid for out of this year's money, a surplus in tax receipts, mostly from corporation tax receipts. And there's a whole host of things being considered. But one of the most standout ones that is on the table is this idea that you could double the monthly child welfare benefit for everybody in the country, which is a huge amount of money for some families. It's paid at €140 for one child and €280 for two children. So if you're getting that double payment in a month, that'll make a big difference for people.
Okay,
and
that'll
is
be
the view in government.
A one-off payment if it happens before Christmas time. There are other, though, aspects to that one-off package as well. A double payment of all welfare rates is on the table too?
Yeah, that looks like a likely one in that you will have, like most years, everybody who is in receipt of social welfare payments receives what we call the Christmas bonus, which is a double payment in December. Now, the government is looking at doing that, keeping the traditional December payment, but before that, doing another double week as well, which could be in October or November, where people would get another double bonus of their payment.
Okay, and the €200 electricity payment, that's likely to be repeated, we hear too.
Yeah, that's very much likely to be paid off, or taken off people's bills, electricity bills, before the end of the year too. Yeah.
Now, people, Philip, who aren't familiar with the controversies around Minister Robert Troy at the moment, let's go through them. So they emerged from the news website on theditch.com in recent weeks. There are three properties in question here. First of all, a property that was sold to Westmeath County Council in 2018. Robert Troy admitted on this programme last week that he had made an error in not registering that sale. This is what he told Philip about your Hayes here last week.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to explain this. That property was declared on my member's interest between 2011 and 2017. Due to an error on my behalf, I left it off in 2018 as I had sold the property during that year, and I'm in the process of amending that. There's actually no requirement to declare who a property is sold to. What the article does not say is that the property was purchased at a public auction in the Greville Arms Hotel in Mullingar. What the article does not say is that the property was sold for less than what it was paid for. And what the article does not say is I was contacted by Westmeath County Council to purchase this property as they needed a right of way over the garden to access land that they owned, and which they now have plans to build in excess of 20 houses for older people, housing. So I did not wish to stand in the way of the development of social housing for older people.
And how is it, Minister, that you remembered to make a declaration for 6 years but then forgot to make a declaration in the year that you sold it?
Because I was under the impression, wrongly, that you declared the property that you had in your possession when making the declaration at the end of December. It was an error on my part, and I'm going to amend it.
Now, that is Robert Troy speaking to Philip Boucher Hayes last week. But Philip Ryan is still on the line listening to this. More has emerged since, Philip, relating to a second property sold to Longford County Council in 2019 that was sold just 3 months after it was purchased for nearly twice what was paid for it. And there's a third property then in Mullingar, which was included in his 2019 register of interest, but not in 2020. Now, there are two questions, Philip, that arise from the clip we just heard. The first is Robert Troy's defence of the sale in 2018, but his failure to mention the others for which he made a profit, right?
Yeah, that this is a messy one for Robert Troy, because it's with a lot of these controversies surrounding ministers, it's not always the actual acts, or in this case, the things that he didn't do. It's the drip feed of information, and it's not coming out and being just straight with people and laying it all on the table and going, look, this is what happened, and I'm very, very sorry for it. Now, in the clip that you just played there, Minister Troy gave the impression that selling the house to the council was almost a charitable act, that he just wanted to house a few older people in social housing. And he didn't tell us that he's also forgot to sell another house to Longford County Council, which, remember, the adjoining county to his own constituency. It was part of his constituency. And he actually made double the profit on that almost. And this is the problem with a lot of the issues around this, is that it's just coming out in drips and drabs, and he's not saying at all on the table and going, look, this is the stuff I didn't do. He seems to have been under some quite naive impression that he didn't have to tell anybody about all these houses he sold during the year if he didn't have them on the night he was filling out his declaration. But that's not the case. You're supposed to say if you held a certain property. Now, he's correct in saying that he didn't have to say that he sold it to a local authority, because that seems to be a bit of a loophole in the legislation that's set out there by the Standards and Public Office Commission, which means that the politicians don't have to say if they're selling properties to a public body.
Well, Philip, we've been looking for an interview with Minister Robert Troy this week. He hasn't been available. We have had some responses just now to a series of questions that we asked. I want to just bring you through some of them now. First of all, there was a new report from The Ditch last evening claiming that he failed to register directorship of a company last year. Well, Minister Robert Troy tells us today, I was a director of RMT Management Limited. I fully declared it in my declarations in 2019 and in 2020. In 2020, I commenced the voluntary strike office process. I therefore did not declare it in the 2021 return. I have discovered that, in fact, the VSO process was not concluded until 2021. So technically, it should have been included in the 2021 declaration as well. And he's awaiting advice from the Clerk of the Dáil and SIPO on whether he breached the Oireachtas ethics rules. Again, that goes back to that question as to why Minister Troy was so unclear on the rules, Philip.
Well, this is it. This is it. It's not like Minister Troy is just in the Dáil since 2020. He's been in the Dáil for more than a decade now, and you wouldn't think he would have a basic understanding of what the rules are around being a TD and what you have to tell the public on foot of being elected to the Dáil and all the power and responsibility that comes with that. So I think that's the one thing that a lot of people are confused by, that someone could be in his position for so long and be so... And not be so in any way au fait with the rules.
There's another irony here. He's the Minister for Company Regulation and he failed to declare directorship of a company. Now, we also asked this question because the Minister told us last week on the programme that there was a property sold to Westmeath County Council to allow for access to a proposed development. And the question we asked today was, does the Minister have any record of the Council making an approach or proposal in that regard? And he says, in relation to Ashfield, the sale closed on the 28th of June 2018. There was verbal communication with senior officials initially a number of months prior to that date. From checking my records, my first written record is an email from the Council on the 12th of February 2018, where they confirmed they'd nominated their solicitor for the sale. And we asked, did that social housing development go ahead and has it been built? He says, my understanding is that the planning process has commenced. Now, Philip, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar expressed support for Robert Troy yesterday. Is he in any danger here?
Well, Taoiseach Leo Varadkar didn't only express support. He called Minister Troy, who is the line minister, junior minister in his department, the Department of Enterprise, as top class, and said he very much had confidence in him, and he accepted all his explanations about what has gone on over the last couple of weeks. So as far as Leo Varadkar is concerned, everything's in order with Robert Troy. We haven't heard too much from the Green Party just yet, and we haven't heard too much from other people within the government parties. I know there is some concern within Fianna Fáil itself over Mr. Troy's explanations and his the controversy that's surrounding him. And interestingly, Simon Harris, the Minister for Higher Education, suggested yesterday that the controversy should lead to a better review of the ethics legislation that we have in place to ensure that it is up to date and modern and transparent as possible.
All right, Philip, thank you very much for joining us. Philip Ryan there from the Irish Independent. I'm joined on the line by Green Party TD and spokesperson on social protection, Marco Cahasig. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're going to discuss what might happen in the budget in just a moment, but I want to ask you about those controversies first of all. The new report from The Ditch yesterday evening that Robert Troy failed to register directorship of a company last year. I mean, for somebody who is in charge of company regulation, the Minister for Company Regulation, failing to declare a directorship of a company, there are serious questions to answer there.
That's quite new information, Claire. As you know, the story was only published by The Ditch last night. What I would say in kind of a more general sense, because I wouldn't like to comment on that until such time as it's kind of been more substantially fleshed out, is, I mean, the Minister did admit on your own programme that there were errors in his return to SIPO. And I do understand he's reached out to the Clerk of the Dáil and also to SIPO to correct the record. And I think that's very important because so much of what we do as politicians across the board, and I would say that across the political spectrum and also from kind of local government upwards, it really hinges on the trust that people have in their politicians. So I think SIPO plays an extremely important role. The Standards and Public Office, they play an extremely important role in making sure that standards are adhered to in public office. I think that's the correct way to go for the Minister to correct the record for SIPO. And I think it's important in terms of maintaining public confidence that he's taken that step.
And do you think that for the same reason, public confidence, that there should be a further explanation from Robert Troy on all of these issues?
Well, I think the Minister has already undertaken that he's going to fully review his returns to make sure that he has included all details that need to be included. As I said, he's reached out to SIPO and to the Clerk of the Dáil to make that happen. I think that's an appropriate step. I'm glad that Minister Troy took that step. And I think it'll be for the Standards of Public Office then to review those returns to make sure that they're fully compliant, which I'm sure they will be.
As it stands, he's doing his own review of his SIPO returns. Is that enough? Is it sufficient that he does a review himself into himself?
Well, Well, I think he was. I think he was very clear and open on your show last week. I think it is important that all of these details are included in his returns. It's something that members of the Dáil do each year. And it does underpin that kind of public trust, which is so important for a politician of any hue to underpin their work.
Okay, there was another aspect to the reports in the ditch, where a former tenant of Robert Troy said he only paid rent in cash for years to Minister Troy. The tenant says that this was at Troy's request. Now, Robert Troy has told us this morning that this is entirely and utterly untrue. The following is the position. At all times, I fully declared my income from this and indeed every other property I own for tax purposes. From August 2011 to the end of the tenancy in 2018, when the property was sold, the County Council paid rent through electronic transfer. Are you happy with that explanation?
Well, I think we have conflicting stories there, Claire. And as I said, you're asking me to respond on the fly to a story that's just breaking this morning. The Minister has responded to that. It's entirely legal, of course, that rent be paid in cash as long as everything is tax compliant. But I wouldn't like to comment on a story that's only just breaking this morning, particularly when we have kind of a he said, she said situation where the Minister is refuting the story.
Mm-hmm. Robert Troy has also told us this morning he's no objection to SIPO changing the rules so that any sale of property must be declared by TDs and ministers. Should that happen?
I think there's a case for the rules around the ethics legislation that Philip Ryan was talking about, and I think Minister Harris adverted to this as well. I have no objection at all for a strengthening of the standards in public office. The role of SIPO, as I said, I think that underpins a lot of the work that we do as politicians across the board. We have to enjoy public trust in order to properly discharge our duties in the Dáil. So I'd have no objection at all to a strengthening of the powers of SIPO.
Do you think it's acceptable for people listening to this now that any TD or minister just doesn't understand the rules? Like he said to Philip Boucher-Hayes here last week that he made an error because he misunderstood the requirements expected of him.
I think the Minister has undertaken to review his returns to SIPO. I think that's the correct forum for this to be dealt with. He's also reached out to the Clerk of the Dáil and he's admitted the errors that have been made in his returns. I think that's the appropriate way to deal with it at this point.
All right, people might be interested because I mentioned earlier one of the properties involved here was sold 3 months after Robert Troy bought it for double the value. He told us this morning the property was purchased having previously been advertised through a local auctioneer for £69,950 and it was advertised in need of substantial renovation. I purchased it then for £82,500 and I carried out the necessary renovations and put it on the market with a local auctioneer. Therefore, while it was subsequently sold for almost 100% more, this does not take into consideration the professional fees for sales and acquisition and costs of renovations to bring this property back up to a habitable condition. It was only 3 months after he bought it that he sold it, so he must have done substantial renovations in a very short period of time. Anyway, Mark O'Cossey, I want to move on to the budget now, because as we heard from Philip Ryan, Fine Gael, according to The Independent, doesn't believe that unemployment benefits should be increased. Fianna Fáil and the Greens do want it increased. What do you want to see done?
I think there needs to be a substantial increase in the basic rate of social protection measures. We've seen a massive spike in inflation, which is due to energy costs, which, as people know, is prompted by the international context that we see in the illegal occupation of Ukraine. Just last month, we saw inflation running at a rate of 9.6% in this economy. And we know that predominantly translates to things like energy and then into food costs. And these are items that people who are on fixed incomes, be that a job seeker's payment, be it a disability allowance, be it a state pension, people on fixed incomes don't have the capacity to absorb that level of rate increase. They don't have the financial reserves to do so. So I think there needs to be a substantial increase in social welfare payments across the board. And we also need to look at those targeted measures that we have been looking at in the last 2 months to make sure that we're really going after poverty where we find it. And we know that we tend to find poverty most among lone parents, among people who are living alone, and of children of lone parents. So I do think there also needs to be a targeted response, be that in the living alone allowance or an increase in the qualified child allowance, which is okay. paid to people who are on job seekers.
But you don't think that job seekers should be a special case, because we have that Fine Gael argument presented in the Irish Independent, unattributed, that suggests that increasing job seekers is a disincentive to work?
Well, what I would say about that is the picture of the workforce in general, or the employment within our economy at the moment, is something that people absolutely wouldn't have expected as we headed into and came out of the pandemic. So we're seeing an increase in the labour force in general, we're an increase in employment levels, a huge increase in participation rates, and participation rate at the female employment rate in particular is higher than it's ever been. So we're not in a case where there's a lot of people who are on the live register, and many people who are availing of those payments have very good reasons and very deep need to be availing of those payments. But we are close to what's termed full employment. We are seeing an increase in female participation rates. We're seeing an increase in employment levels. So what I think we need to be focusing on, rather than talking about people who are on welfare, I think we need to go back to that Pathways to Work document, which is the National Employment Strategy, which was published in July 2021. There's 83 commitments in that. We need to make sure that that's fully resourced. Okay. We need to make sure that work pays for people. A lot of the disincentives are about if people move from welfare into low-paid work. A lot of those I suppose, graduated social welfare payments that people really rely on fall away. So we need to make sure there's not a cliff edge.
The ancillary benefits as well, because your colleague Joe O'Brien a couple of weeks ago mentioned a €50 increase in job seekers. Do you think it should be at that level?
Well, that's been costed through by the tax strategy group, and they've looked at a range of options in terms of increases.
But are you in favour of it?
I think that's the level of increase that's required, whether you put it in a basic increase to the actual social welfare payment or whether you take a lesser increase. But I do think there needs to be an increase in the base rates. But whether you take €15 and give it across the board, and if you include, for example, qualified adults and make it proportionate, or whether you put more of the money aside towards targeted measures.
Just to be clear, you said 15 there. I said 50, which I think is what Joe O'Brien suggested some time ago. It's 15, you mean, is it?
Well, 15 is what was costed in the tax strategy group.
Yeah, but 50 has been mentioned by your colleague Joe O'Brien. You don't think it should be at 50?
I don't think that's been mentioned by my colleague Joe O'Brien. I'd have to fact check that. I know people like Social Justice Ireland are talking about getting towards 37.5% of average income, which would be in or around €223 per week as well, I believe. And the Vincentian Partnership talk about the minimal essential standard of living. But I think really in the long term, so we do need a response in this budget, and we need an emergency response in this budget.
Right.
But we also need to be looking at the indexation in the long term and the benchmarking of social welfare payments. So this type of conversation is taken out of the political arena year on year for budgets.
So a double digit increase is what you're talking about. I'm taking Joe O'Brien's call for €50 from the Irish Independent this morning, where they say he previously suggested that job seekers should increase by that amount. But you're not saying it should be at that level. You're saying 15 is where you're comfortable.
Well, what I'm saying is I'm relying on the analysis that was brought out by those tax strategy group papers, which have gone through, I suppose, they've looked at the fiscal space that's available from the summary economic statement and have made costings in terms of the kind of window of spending that we're looking at based on the summary economic statement, and costed out scenarios where you'd have a 15 euro across the board increase or other more targeted payments.
Mark O'Cahasic, Green Party TD, thank you for joining us on the programme.